Lobster Villa. Lobster Villa.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and you faked me out on that one, because I definitely did not expect to hear that song sung by that person. So what's the deal with that version? Who was that?
Well, that was Ziggy Stardust in 1973.
Wow.
Ziggy Stardust, of course, is David Bowie, and that was he had Jeff Beck on stage. So they were kind of jamming to Gene Genie, one of Bowie's hit songs, of course. Most people know that. And went into a little Love Me Do there.
Wow, that was a great, totally had me fooled on that. So just one great example we're going to hear today. As everybody knows, David Bowie died recently, and when we posted some of the comments on our Facebook page that people had, famous people had said about him, we got a really good response. And given that Chris is a major David Bowie fan and has been really influenced by him a lot, and he's wearing a t-shirt right now that has David Bowie on it, we thought it'd be fun and a nice tribute to Bowie to look at him from a little bit of a different perspective, because he had relationships with John Lennon, and he knew Paul McCartney, and had experiences, and was obviously around when the Beatles were solo artists. So we thought it'd be interesting, and Chris is going to really take the lead on this one, since you're the big Bowie fan. But I'm very interested to hear what you've picked and what you'll tell us about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an understatement to say I'm a Bowie fan. I've never met a larger Bowie fan than myself.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they aren't out there. But I'm not super obsessive, like, follow, you know, guys to follow bands around and stuff. Like that.
Not a Bowie head or a deadhead.
Yeah, deadhead. But I just love David Bowie from from my youth, really, and but I have every single album of his, of course, and all the rarities I can find, and all the bootlegs I can. I once paid for. I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I once paid a guy for a stack of, I think, 30 bootleg CDs of concerts.
Oh wow!
And through eBay or whatever. Craigslist or something like that, and got him in the mail. I was so excited, and slowly went through 30 separate discs of pretty rough sounding Bowie live concerts and things of that nature. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize how many different connections that Bowie has with the Beatles, including, I didn't know as much until I started researching this episode. David Bowie's first encounter that involved the Beatles came in 1968. He tried to get signed by Apple Records.
Oh, really?
He was denied a contract, but, you know, I don't know what the Apple policies were at the time.
Well,
they probably had a stack of tapes.
That's what they said in the anthology, that people would just send in tapes and they started to go through them, and then eventually just gave up. It was just too overwhelming. So maybe Bowie was in that huge stack of tapes that never got listened to. But that's pretty interesting at that time.
Of course, you know, he moved on from there till he got signed by Philips label and then Trident Studios, and then he released a few albums and had a fairly big hit with Space Oddity. Of course, everybody's familiar with that song. And and then really took off when he started doing Ziggy Stardust in 1972. He kind of turned into Ziggy Stardust for a couple of years. That was a character. What did you think of Ziggy Stardust, Dave?
I have kind of a mixed feeling about Bowie. In terms of, I like some of his songs. I'm not much of a fan of his music, but I think he as a figure was really important, and especially at that time. In the early 70s, because he was just so brash and confident about who he was, and didn't seem to care what people thought, and just I think that was really influential on a lot of people, and with glam rock and just changing the whole perspective of what a rock star was. So I think in that respect, Ziggy Stardust was pretty influential.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the first people to like take a different persona on stage.
Yeah,
a whole different.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a concept album; it was a whole persona
with the makeup and everything else.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point in more recent times, he was sort of reflecting on Ziggy Stardust, and he's like, "Really, what I was trying to do is create kind of like a almost like a musical, like a play." And this is this character, and he said, I regret not spinning it off, and just what I should have done is just have somebody else play him.
Yeah.
And yeah. Send him off to do concerts for years and years and years. So
I would think that all that preparation for all those concerts took a lot of time, because he's pretty elaborately made up and dressed and everything else. So I could see, yeah, get somebody else to play it, and then he can sing the songs.
Yeah. So during that era, he wrote a song which has a pretty little bit of a Beatles reference in it. So I thought I'd play you a song he wrote that was actually a hit by Mott the Hoople called All the Young Dudes. But let's play the David Bowie version of All the Young Dudes. So Bowie was, you know, bigger in England for sure than he was in America. And in 1974, he was in America working on an album called Young Americans, and he met one Mr. John Lennon. So this is from the Beatles archive, and it's from a speech David Bowie gave to the Berklee College of Music in 1999. And I'm going to read this. It's a little bit long, but it's very much about him and John Lennon, so I thought I'd read most of this here. It's impossible for me to talk about popular music without mentioning probably my greatest mentor, John Lennon. I guess he defined for me, at any rate, how one could twist and turn the fabric of pop and imbue it with elements from other art forms, often producing something extremely beautiful, very powerful, and imbued with strangeness. Also uninvited, John would wax on endlessly about any topic under the sun and was over-endowed with opinions.
Yeah.
I immediately felt empathy with that. Whenever the two of us got together, it became started to resemble Beavis and Butthead on Crossfire. The seductive... This is really weird here about how they first met. The seductive thing about John was his sense of humor. Surrealistically enough, we were first introduced in 1974 by Elizabeth Taylor.
Wow. Wow, there's a connection.
Miss Taylor had been trying to get me to make a movie with her. And then he says some stuff about that. But he says she had a party to which both John and I had been invited. I think we were polite to each other in that kind of older, younger way. Although there were only a few years between us in rock and roll, that's a generation, you know. Oh boy, is it ever. So John was sort of, oh, here comes another new one. And I was sort of, it's John Lennon. I don't know what to say. Don't mention the Beatles. You look really stupid. And he said, hello, Dave. And I said, I've got everything you've made except the Beatles. Which, of course, John probably would have loved people to say that they didn't have any Beatles. And especially anybody who's heard that Rolling Stone interview.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
You guys sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. We were terrible.
What are you talking
about? A couple of nights later, we found ourselves backstage at the Grammys, where I had to present the thing to Aretha Franklin. Before the show, I'd been telling John that I didn't think America really got what I did, that I was misunderstood. Remember that I was only in my 20s and out of my head. So the big moment came, and I ripped open the envelope and announced the winner is Aretha Franklin. Aretha steps forward and, with not so much as a glance in my direction, snatches the trophy out of my hands and says, "Thank you, everybody. I'm so happy I could even kiss David Bowie." Which she didn't.
Oh.
And promptly spun around and swanned off stage to the right. So I slunk off stage left. John bounds over and gives me a theatrical kiss and hug and says, "See, Dave, America loves you."
Ah, oh,
we cute. Pretty much got on like a house of fire after that. And the story's a little bit longer. I'd suggest you go to Beatles Archive and check the rest of that out, because it's fun. And there's some nice pictures of him with John and Yoko.
Pretty intriguing with the Elizabeth Taylor connection. And I didn't realize that Bowie was an actor much, that he would be seen to be fit to be in a movie with somebody like Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, he became a kind of a commodity in acting around that time, because he made the film The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Oh, right.
Got some critical acclaim. And, you know, since then, he didn't do a whole lot. I mean, Labyrinth, obviously.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about, and some other. He was very good in a movie called The Prestige. Mm. But, you know, he did some acting. So, apparently, appropriately picky, though.
Yeah.
So now we'll talk about a party that happened between then and the Young American sessions a little bit later. But they meet again at a party. They're continuing a friendship. David Bowie had recorded a lot of stuff for Young Americans, and actually technically the album was done, but he was kind of just killing time while he was trying to get out of a record contract. So he runs into John, and he has a good idea, which is, why don't I invite John down and say I'm going to be doing a cover of Across the Universe. So let's hear his cover of Across the Universe with John playing on it and giving some backing vocals.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me.
So, Dave, what do you think of Across the Universe, David Bowie's version?
Yeah, I think I remember playing this on one of our cover episodes, and I think it's kind of interesting that it's a song I know you're not particularly fond of, that's the one Beatles song that he chose to do.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Obviously, it was a big, like, John was very pleased with that song, so maybe that rubbed off on David a little bit.
John was later to comment that Bowie's version was the best one.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, I like the feel. I like the instrumentation and the guitar playing. I don't know who Bowie's guitar player was at that time.
Carlos Alomar.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's going to come up right away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got a good sound on that track.
It, towards the end of that, of course, they get in a little back and forth, and you can really hear John with, like, "Nothing's going to change it."
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of a fun version of Across the Universe.
Well, that was Bowie's Plastic Soul period?
Yes, this was his Plastic Soul album.
Okay.
And so he gets John to come down to record that, and then John's down there, so they start screwing around. And they start playing a song called Foot Stompin'. Now, I'm going to play you a little bit of Bowie playing foot stomping, and we'll see if you recognize this lick from foot stomping. So does that sound familiar?
It does. Yeah, it sounds like a song that also begins with F.
Yeah. Carlos Alomar had always played that when they were playing foot stomping, but they're not going to record that song. It's not that great. So he stole that lick, and of course that becomes the famous lick in Fame, which we played on a previous episode. I won't play it right now. Pretty Fame. We've talked about Fame before. Yeah. Neither of us are particularly very fond of it.
No, it's cool for it's like a cool groove and cool for about the first minute, and then gets a little weary. That's more interesting for who is involved, I guess, to me.
Yeah, and it's a real negative kind of sentiment. It's like the dark side of. It's kind of ironic that David Bowie's singing this right as he's going into a couple years of heavy cocaine use. What you like is in your limo. And you've ever seen the documentary Cracked Actor, which is a David Bowie at his highest. And he's in one of the scenes, he's in the back of his limo drinking milk.
Oh,
and complaining that there's a fly in his milk.
Oh, okay.
Now, on Young Americans, of course, there's one more Beatles reference. So let's play just a little bit of the song Young Americans. And of course, you'll hear an obvious Beatles reference.
All night, what the Young American.
Pretty cool reference there to A Day in the Life.
Yeah. So lots of stuff on Young Americans, Beatles related.
Yeah.
Now, of course, John Lennon passed away. In 1980, Bowie was in the Elephant Man, and Lennon was supposed to go see him a couple days after the event. He was assassinated, and then according to May Pang, who was close friend of, obviously, the sort of girlfriend.
Substitute of, Yoko. Yeah.
Substitute Yoko. According to May Pang, Bowie went into shock at the news. She says he began screaming, "What the hell? What the F word is going on in this world?" Not once, but many, many times. He just like lost his mind. Very upset, obviously. And he would later in 1983, I'm not going to play this, but you can find him singing a version of Imagine, which really isn't particularly all that good. Now, I'm going to read what Yoko wrote just a few days ago on January 11th. John and David respected each other. They were well matched in intellect and talent. As John and I had very few friends, we felt David was as close as family. After John died, David was always there for Sean and me. When Sean was at boarding school in Switzerland, David would pick him up and take him on trips to museums and let Sean hang out at his recording studio in Geneva. For Sean, this is losing another father figure. It'll be hard for him, I know, but we have some sweet memories which will stay with us forever.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the best celebrity tributes or famous people commenting on Bowie's death. That to me was one of the better ones.
Yeah, I really think that was a nice thing for Yoko to say.
Yeah.
Now, Paul McCartney chimed in too with a nice note. This was Paul McCartney, and he said, "Very sad news to wake up to on this rainy morning. David was a great star, and I treasure the moments we had together. His music played a very strong part in British musical history, and I'm proud to think of the huge influence he's had on people all around the world. I send my deepest sympathies to his family, and we'll always remember the great laughs we had through the years. His star will shine in the sky forever." So the there's a story which I found of this party. This is one night in New York.
I've been waiting for this story because Chris has been tantalizing me with this story that about Paul and David Bowie. So I'm very excited here.
So he invites some people over to his place. John Lennon came with May Pang. Tony Visconti was there, his record producer of that time and of more recent time, the last four albums he's been involved with. May Pang meets Visconti, and they later get married.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is the place where they meet. So that was unique enough.
Yeah.
But they bring Paul and Linda along over to see him.
And what year was this?
This is 1974.
Okay, so during the Lost Weekend period.
Yeah, and this is from a book called Bowie the Biography. So Bowie played them songs from Young Americans, the sole influence album he would release in 75. Not once, but twice. Whereupon Paul asked for another album to be put on instead. Bowie was hurt and left the room, but Lennon later mollified him with a phone call, and the pair became friends.
So Paul got sick of it.
Yeah, Paul was like, and what was funny is when I was talking to you about it, I was like, I can't remember if it was Bowie was at Paul's place, and Paul kept playing that record, or Paul was at Bowie's, and I was like, well, both of them kind of make sense.
I think it could have gone either way, yeah.
Now, Paul's rumored to play the upcoming two-day tribute concert that's going to be March 31st, April 1st. I believe it's sold out.
I'm sure. Yeah.
The March 31st is at Carnegie Hall, and the April 1st is at Radio City Music Hall. It's going to be The Roots, Cyndi Lauper, Betty LaVette.
Yes, who featured on our podcast.
Cat Power, Ann Wilson of Heart, Laurie Anderson, and possibly Sir Paul. So we'll see.
Wow, that'd be great.
Other than that, there's really no... I mean, they were, you know, Live Aid. They were both at Live Aid. So there's a... You know, Paul closed Live Aid with a sort of ragged version of Let It Be, which we will save you from having to hear.
When the microphone went up.
Yeah, so...
There was a good picture I remember on the tweet that Paul put out. There was a picture of Bowie and McCartney together that was pretty nice that Linda took.
Yeah. Speaking of ragged, Ringo appears very briefly in Ziggy Stardust the motion picture backstage, and I've never seen Ringo look more drunk. His hair is just all messed up, and he's just like, and they both look so spaced out.
Yeah,
know? Yeah. George and Bowie weren't exactly the best of friends, and I've read places that George didn't really like Bowie, but I would imagine like a spaced out, drugged up guy in the middle of 70s and a guy who's trying to, you know, meditate.
Find God. Are
not a match.
No.
But Bowie was a huge George fan and really loved one of his songs and played it on his album Reality. So let's hear a little bit of David Bowie's version of Try Some, Buy Some.
We're back in time. Someone said try some. I tried some, now buy some. I bought some, ooh. After a while, when I had tried them, didn't
night, then I opened my eyes and I saw you. Not a thing did I have. Did I see till I called on your love and your love came to me.
I remember that was the very one of the better covers, one of the better George covers, it has a little bit of Phil Spector / Ronnie Spector influence in it.
Yeah,
but with Bowie's inimitable voice over it, so it's that's a good version. I like that one,
Dave. I'm sure if you have Bowie, most of it's going to be either Greatest Hits album. Or one of the early ones, like maybe Hunky Dory. A lot of people have that. A lot of people like that. It's a great album.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggy Stardust, obviously, is a pretty great album. Low and Heroes are two good ones. So if you're out there and you're wanting to start somewhere,
yeah,
those four are good places to start. Diamond Dogs, good one too. But I am a big fan of his more recent work since the 90s. Let's skip over the 80s. mostly garbage. Tonight Never Let Me Down or Unlistenable Garbage. 10 Machines, kind of interesting, but we'll leave it at interesting. But I really like everything since Outside. So Outside, Earthling, Reality, The Next Day, which is pretty recent. Obviously, Black Star, the newest album, is just fantastic, really great, especially writing it about himself dying.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of references to his own mortality in it is very moving to me.
Especially that video of Lazarus is really powerful. You can't even, there's nothing to say after you watch it. It just is sort of, yeah wow.
But I wanted to play a couple tunes from some of his later albums that have specific Beatles references in them. There's an album called Hours he released in 1999, and there's a song called Survive on it. So let's see if you can pick up the Beatles reference here in Survive. So that's a little bit of Survive, but he says Beetle Boys all snowy white.
Mm.
Razzle dabble soul clubs every night. And then on his album Heathen, which if we're talking about the modern albums and you want a place to start and you want an album that's just going to knock your socks off, go pick up Heathen. And there's a song from it called Afraid, and it's got a very obvious John Lennon reference in it.
I wish I was taller.
Yeah, good reference to John Lennon's song "God" in there when he talks about "I believe in Beatles."
Yeah. So Bowie had definitely had Beatles on his mind a lot more than one would think at a cursory glance. So
because until now, all I knew about was the Lennon connection, which is obvious because of their recordings together. But it's interesting. I mean, obviously, anybody who is English and at that time in the 70s is going to run across the Beatles at some point doing their thing. But it's amazing how the Beatles' tentacles reach all different places, and somebody like Bowie, who you wouldn't expect necessarily to have such Beatle influences, was certainly influenced by them and refers to them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm obviously a huge fan of both the Beatles and Bowie. If anybody wants to talk Bowie to me, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Of course, you can comment on our Facebook page. We appreciate that you've all been doing that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate we're going to have some. Oh, I'm really excited about our next episode, Dave.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yes. We're going to shift back to another concert, a pretty great concert / TV special. So we'll just whet your appetite with that one.
Yeah.
That has lots of good stuff for us to get into, for sure.
So what we'll go out with, and I just discovered this today, and I have no idea where it's from.
That sounds great. I feel really confident about this one.
But it's obviously David Bowie and his version of Mother. So we'll go out with that, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.
Mother, you had me, but I never had you. I wanted you, but you didn't want me. So I just gotta tell you, goodbye. Never left you. Oh, I needed you. You didn't need me. So I've just gotta tell you, goodbye.